recently, special edition of the Overseas Famous Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Owens. We have a great show today because it's a live show, and I'm here with, I don't know if we're going to call ourselves the Bur Bros or if we're going to call ourselves the, we can call ourselves like the Dad Bod, Soccer Dad Bod. But we have a group of my good friends here. We talked about doing the podcast for a while to sit down and just talk about being a dad in sports. And I think it's a big thing because when athletes are growing up, it's obviously the most pivotal time that they're going to have in their development. So I think having five individuals who are very, very knowledgeable, trust me, we sit together every single week. Our text chain is awesome. So we have a lot of information. We have a lot to share. So let me introduce you to our panel. First, Eric Palak. Eric is a military man. He is also coaching about 17 of his, he has about 17 children, and he's coaching every one of their sports. John Freeman. John does a great job. First off, John is the bourbon extraordinaire. So everything you see, everything that we're drinking tonight is courtesy of John. John, amazing bourbon man, also has three children, so you know that's we're getting there. Aaron Moorhead, you might have heard that name, Eagles wide receiver coach, father as well, former NFL wide receiver, and just was coaching in the Super Bowl. So you know, great to have you, and great to have you here. Jason Romero, just one of the most down to earth human beings I've ever met, and very, very, and very, very knowledgeable of just everything that we're going to be talking about. Obviously, you have three, right?
I think so.
Three, yeah, we have to double check them again. So, we all have children, and I think the biggest discussion, Eric sent something to the group chat the other day with an article about what you do on the sidelines and how you handle yourself as a parent.
The article
came from
JC.
Oh, sorry, JC. My fault. Jesus fucking. Yeah. See. It's tough to see where everything comes from.
Bullshit. Yeah. That's a complete bullshit.
Well, I completely fucked that one up. So, JC sent out an article and talked about like how you have to be respectful on the sidelines and what your children hear and what they retain. So JC, take us through first off that, because you said it, obviously it resonated with you.
First of all, I forgot what the article was about. it was about the injury, right?
No, it was about the mother that
with the water polo.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wait, the water polo. Okay. So the article is about this mom who was an athlete, and the father was an athlete too.
Division one
basketball for both of them.
Yeah. We're the worst.
They had this push. They had this push for their kids to be in the same level. So the moment the kids showed interest in their specific sports, they pushed them to the point of like they hated the sport, basically. Or the passion, but more like the chore part of it became the passion. And it became something that ended up being a negative thing. But the article showed like how the parents sort of turned it around and tried to fix it. So they learned from it as well.
I think there was a good part of the article where they talked about like, there was a lot of warning signs. Like everyone has warning signs. And I feel like that's the big thing. Always have a warning sign when you're fucking up as a parent. And there's that, I mean, you see it in every aspect. A kid gets in trouble or does something or fucking goes crazy and loses their mind. And everyone's like, there is a fucking warning sign, but it's like these little warning signs are missed. And why, like, so Eric, take this, like, why are we missing these warning signs?
I think the article covered it too. I believe a lot of parents try to live through their children, that they're reliving their childhood. I catch myself sometimes doing it, but I'm able to pull myself back. But the reason we're blinded by love, because we always want our children to do better than what we have done or where we're at. Like if we're successful in any career we are, we still want them to be better than what we are in our field, them in their field, in school, sports, chores, whatever it is, relationships with their siblings, relationship with their parents, grandparents, whatever. I think it's really a combination of a bunch of things that really go into not paying attention to the warning signs. Because I still don't pay attention to warning signs to my own body.
Well, I feel like we all sit in the sideline. Like, Aaron, I always look at it like you played pro football for, you know, a long period of time. You're coaching NFL players every day, and you are chill as hell. Like, you are very chill on the sideline. You just kind of like watch the game and you enjoy it. And I always look at it, I'm like, God, calm the fuck down. Like, in my mind, I'm like, Kevin, calm down. Cause I'm watching you, like, he's got it under control. And I'm like, fucking Lib, come on. And then I look at you and you're like, Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a time and place for everything, but I mean, I'd rather be supportive at the game, and when we get in the car, I may give her too good, too bad. I let her tell me what she did good first, and then maybe, hey, what can you improve on? And if she doesn't say what I think the answer should be, I'll tell her my opinion on what I thought, and she'll usually agree. But I want her to have fun. They're so young, and if you lose the fun, especially at this age, they're never going to make it to college. They're never going to make it to high school even. So it's like, enjoy the process of being on the team with your friends and all that. And, you know, at the end of the day, if they make it to the next level for middle school and they keep wanting to play, then they get to high school and they keep wanting to play, then you kind of go from there. And that kind of the article touched on that a little bit about it doesn't really get cranking too much till eighth grade, freshman year in high school, and then you should kind of go, okay, if you're really still passionate, keep doing it. And I think that a lot of coaches at their age group, Eric, push them so hard that it makes it tough, where sometimes they don't have fun. But then there's a piece of it that if you don't push them, then it turns into a mess and they're not practicing well or hard or learning the values that sports teach us, which is hard work and dedication and friendship and all those things. So it's like, sometimes with girls, it turns into friendship and that's all they care about. And then, you know, that can be a distraction during practice too.
I definitely think the friendship plays a big part. Like, there's definitely sports. I feel like all of them play soccer right now. And Liv's just like, and I'm like, you get to see your friend. She's like, okay. Like, I don't know, she's real big on soccer, but she loves seeing all the girls. So the friendship thing is a key piece. And John, you talked a little bit about today how you were like, I was talking so much that you didn't even realize it. Like, it almost becomes like this just like thing that happens and we're not even realizing that we're yelling and screaming. It's just that passion that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to keep it sort of under the breath. You know, I don't like to, you know, throw up some negative comments to her during the game. First of all, she's not going to hear me.
No idea.
If I catch that eye contact for a minute, I like to give a little thumbs up, give a little support.
Yep.
And then, like Aaron, you know, have a little conversation, talk about the positive things. What do you think about this one thing that you did there? Just, you know, that wasn't good.
I know Liv came out of her first ever when she tried out for travel last year, and the thing was frustrating, and I like laid into her and I felt so bad for it for so long because I laid into her, but I laid into her because I watched her practice and I'm like, you're fucking good, like you can do things. And you were like, and she just stood there in tryouts, and she was like a deer in headlights, and basketball. And I was like, what the like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not giving your all? And I think that's where I get frustrated. If like, there's not 100%, but I need to tone it down. So I feel like I get pissed off I don't see like maximum effort. And it's just one of those things where like, when I look at it, and this is where that athlete in me, I'm like, I gave everything I had. Like, why aren't you? But I didn't fucking play basketball when I was 10. So like, I'm like, I have no idea what I was doing in 10. I was like dicking around and chasing. I don't even know. Like fucking playing with G.I. Joe's. Like, I can't believe that. Sometimes I step back. I'm like, you didn't play. Like, you were a late bloomer. And I guess in my mind, I'm like, I don't want her to be a late bloomer. I want her to have the opportunity throughout high school and not just start as a senior. So like, there's part of me that I'm almost like living this. I want to give her a better life, but will it hurt her in the long run?
I don't think it will. I think you just got to understand. You got to remember what you just said.
Just remind me.
At that age, you weren't even close to who you are now, right? And physically, you know, you were still like, you know, baby deer on ice. Mm-hmm. You know, you were just like floating around, and she's definitely probably a little more physically ahead of where you were at that time. I mean, so it's good, but like, no, she's mentality. She's still very young and she's going to get better, but you can push her, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like, you don't have to push her so hard that she doesn't enjoy what she's doing.
I like that.
Yeah. I remember the article even mentioned about, you know, they were practicing together and then the kids were like clowning around, and then the parent gets frustrated because she wants it the certain way of the practice going on. And I'm guilty with that. When I was reading that, I remember myself with Bassi, because I mean, Bassi's 5, but I know he's going to be tiny forever. So I know his edge will be like dribbling, you know, like point guard stuff. And that's my strength. So I know that's something that I can pass on. But every time we like do dribble skills and he clowns around doing stupid stuff, I get frustrated. And that, you know, just like a reminder, like, dude, the dude is 5. Like, I was playing whatever sticks, you know, counting sticks and kicking rocks at 5. I think he'll be fine.
Fucking
stupid. Yeah, just that reminder.
Here comes a storming cameo.
I tell you, one thing I'm very critical of Avari with her dribbling in soccer, and I'm always like, why don't you just do like Summer, man? She doesn't even do it. You know, and I'm like, I don't know if she can. But how do you teach them? Because she was so good with that ball on her foot, so young. I mean, the first time we played together, whatever, three years ago, she could do stuff that none of the other girls can do.
Right. Well, one is because she's always that driven in terms of like, if she finds something interesting, she goes hard at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty basically the reason why her back is messed up right now. Because if she finds something, she goes hard. And then we got that dribble up, which she was the one who found it. Because it was like an ad on a YouTube thing that she was watching. Like, what is this? And then I looked it up. And it was like,
YouTube.
I mean, she's always like that. She would train on her own. That's the thing with soccer as well. Because I have no clue. Well, I mean, a big fan of the sport, but I have no clue how to play. So it's not like I can go to the yard and teach her the dribbling skills. So when that like app came out, it's like, go right ahead, go for it.
Now, this is a good question, because I thought of this when I was like I felt like I was overwhelmed because I wanted to coach Liv in like all her sports. In basketball, I was like, I want to coach her because I know that I can do it my way and she'll get better. Eric, like, you coach 37 teams. Like, do you have that mentality too, where you're like, I would rather coach my children than let someone else coach them?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Because one, it's not cheap. We all know for any level above rec,
mm-hmm.
and Cherry Hill rec is even a little pretty penny. But I definitely, when it comes to the reason I don't do soccer, is I don't think I bring enough to the table for soccer. I can bring the discipline. I tell you guys this on the side all the time. I can bring the conditioning. I can bring strength training. I can bring all that. But talent and skill development, which I think is the most important at the younger age, keeping them in love with the sport, letting them explore themselves more, behind the back fadeaways, all that fancy stuff, step back jumper, letting them, what they see on TV, letting them try that practice, let them explore that. I don't have the skills above 6th, 7th grade of soccer to give them. That's why I don't do soccer. But I would definitely rather me coach than have somebody that's going to let them run all over them. The players control the practice,
mm-hmm.
and the coach have no say.
Yeah.
It's different, like, because there's I'm not a dictator at practice.
Mm.
I give them choices, but we run a strict practice, if that makes sense. But I 100% rather be coaching.
Yeah, John, when I kind of, Lola got pulled into basketball kind of towards the end, and it's so busy. Like, our schedules are fucking crazy. I mean, like, I talked to Aaron and it's like 11 o'clock during the Eagle season and he's coming home after leaving at like 7 in the morning. Like, he's just ridiculous hours. And then the kids are all playing sports. So like, John, Lola, Eric was like, hey, you want to play basketball? And you were like, okay, Was that something like, as a parent, are you kind of thinking like, fuck no? Like, or is that?
No, I was all in. I was ready. But, initially Lola was like, maybe she needs a little bit of a break. Then she had practice, talked to Paisley. I get a call. Oh, I want to play. I'm like, okay. So she loves it. I mean, she's passionate. And I know she loves it, so that's enough for me.
And was that a brave moment for you?
Well, I was like, all right, she's gonna. Yeah. Eric said, let's see what happens after soccer practice when she talked to Paisley.
Yeah, because I had a conversation with Paisley. I said, listen, I said, have a conversation with Lola. I was like, tell her how you felt, because I listened. The reason I said the article was bullshit is. And I didn't mean bullshit in a bad way.
You made it pretty clear.
I said it because if a parent doesn't listen to their child, if you're hearing them, okay. But my children say something to me, I'm like, all right, you're going to finish. But before this season started for basketball, Payson said, hey, I don't want to do basketball. I think it was because of Harlow, because Harlow's very good at everything she does. And Payson's like, I don't want to live that life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to do soccer, right? So Paisley took off on the winter for basketball. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? The week one into it, she regretted it. Yeah. So when AAU came around, she was like, Dad, can I try out? I said, yeah, but Coach Kevin is not going to accept you just because I'm there. He knows that, like, yo, no, it's all right. If he only has 10 spots and you're number 11, he's not stretching it to number 11. You're not making it. But then we made up another team. I said, express that to Lola. I said, let her know, like, hey, your passion grew because I didn't force her to do anything. I'm like, you don't want to start this season? All right, I'm not letting you start the season. Don't have to worry about it. But not even a week into the season.
But that's great. I wanted Lola to make the decision. I don't want to make it for her. And not Paisley help, but but I knew when she called me up, she was all in.
Also, the Ballet girls are sales agents in the future.
They are, yeah.
I hope so.
That's
so many times my kids say no to stuff,
yeah,
and then comes home after speaking to Paisley or Harlow, they're like, I'm in.
Oh, man.
I think about that, like, just as a time constraint. Like, there's things that I'm like, I was asked to coach her Christ the King team, and I was like, hell no. And then I agreed to do it. And then there's times I'm just like, oh, shit, like, I'm tired. Like, I'm exhausted and I have to go run a practice right now or run her to practice. It's just, I feel like there's so much so young that kids and parents are, like, getting burned out. I feel like the parents are getting burned out now. Like, practice to practice to practice. And, like, the worst thing is we're not even in it yet. Like, we're not even in the part where it gets real fucking serious. And that's when it's going to get scary.
So do you think kids have to, like, go to one sport? Do you think it's parent-driven or do you think it's kid-driven?
I think it's both.
It's
both. Yeah. I think parents definitely play a big, big role. And there's, like, so much emphasis on health and fitness and stuff that when kids are growing, they're kind of like, no, get them running around, because they're the screens and shit like that. Like, parents are so like, hey, you're on a screen all the time. Like, get out and run around. So it's like becomes this whole entire situation where the kids might not want to play, but you just fucking throw them on a team just to get them out of the house and off a screen or a PlayStation or an iPad or something like that.
Yeah, I said this to Jason when he said what happened this summer when they're back. It's like, where the coach is aware that she was doing multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know how many sports are my players playing? Because I know, okay, I know I can, like, I got one girl coming from soccer on practice nights, coming right from soccer. So guess what? She's not doing warm-ups and she's not doing cardio. Like, because she's coming straight from practice. Like, I think coaches, even though you're a volunteer, you have a responsibility to know your players just as much as your own children. It's like, I don't want to be responsible, one, for somebody hating the sport, mm-hmm. end up hating the sport, or I like soccer more and basketball is too demanding. I don't want to play basketball no more. But they're like, hey, Coach Eric he's very considerate. He knows what I'm going through. He knows I'm doing swimming. He knows I'm doing soccer. He works with me. Because at this age, yes, it's the names on the shirt, on the front, but it's also about the person itself. It's like, know your team, know what you can do, stretch it as much as you can, but don't break the child. Right. Don't break them. There's no point, because now you turn somebody off that could be an amazing athlete or help your team down the road.
Aaron, you talk, I mean, Nick Saban always says, and, you know, going through the football process, Nick Saban always says he recruits kids that play multiple sports. And that multiple sport thing, is that something, like, as the kids progress, is that something that we as parents are going to be pushing? Like, no, you're not going to. It's tough because I think in this day and age, there's so much emphasis on being specific and pushing towards one sport. But I like them playing multiple sports. Is that something that's going to change? I don't even know how this world's going to go in the next few years, where like kids are just becoming machines of a sport. And you kind of look at the psychological part, but then you look at the reward. I mean, like, I look at Jalen Brunson, and I know Rick, and Rick has been pushing Jalen since he was a kid. And there's a whole Sports Illustrated article on how hard he pushed this kid. But then Jalen's, you know, oh, for fuck's sakes. Now Jalen's like an all-star, and he's just a terrific player. Like, there's some kids get it and some kids don't. But I guess the question is that something that you would stress to your kids to play multiple sports or just kind of focus on one?
I mean, just speaking from my personal experience, I think you play multiple sports has so much of an advantage because your brain can take one thing from one sport and push it into another sport. I remember running track in high school and like my senior year, just understanding that like my mindset, I get into football mode. Like I'm about to tear this competition up, even though it's me against the track, me against the hurdles, but it was my brain would just get wired. And I'd play basketball and you'd be the most physical guy on the court. And basketball guys didn't like that. But you know what? Like, I knew you didn't like that. So I used that to my advantage.
Right.
Right. And I knew it made you mad, which brought me back into that. Or, you know, you're playing football and really as a wide receiver, it's really one-on-one basketball out there with a corner and man-to-man coverage. So all those things you use. And if I didn't play multiple sports, I wouldn't understand that, you know? And so that's why, like, I always, when I was in college, I loved recruiting football players that played basketball because you knew they understood me versus you one-on-one. Go to the basket, get the points, right? It was that simple, right? It was so, I love that. But I think with now everybody wants to specialize in it, and that's fine for certain people, but they're not going to be able to bring it from different spots of their brain of, oh, this situation. Oh, you know what? We're playing this. I already have this. I'm good. I know the situation. I got it. Right. Where all they have is basketball and that's all they have. And they don't have that situation in their brain where they could have had it from another sport. So I think that, you know, soccer is such a great sport for hand-eye coordination. Obviously it's more foot coordination, but it's the same thing. And I think that I had a soccer background growing up. I didn't play football until eighth grade. Damn. You know, we played in the street and we played in the park, which no one does anymore, but we did that, you know, but I didn't play organized football until that. So like, I mean, I always did different stuff, you know? And so I would love the kids to play multiple sports, you know, and if they find a spot where, and Eric, you kind of talked about this with Paisley, how she didn't play basketball. If you say, hey, I don't want to play, then okay, fine. Don't play. You know, let's focus on this one. You know, and if you get to the point, kind of like the article saying where the woman's like, I don't play anything. I want to go to art school. Or I want to do this. Or I want to do that. Well, great. You can do that too. But you have to, I think when they're young, be multiple with them and allow them to find their passion. And we all want the passion to be sports, especially through high school.
Yeah.
If their passion turns into something else, we, you know, we got to allow them to go into their brain and use what God gave them, which is the ability to have a free mind and go be the best version of themselves. So I think it's being multiple in sports, being multiple in their activities and just letting them find themselves.
I also, JC, you had talked earlier about how much, you know, like youth sports cost. So when we look at youth sports and you look at all, that's like the, I feel like a frustration with parents too. When you get to a certain point and your kid stops playing and you're like, that's like 20 grand down the drain. Like that's like 20 grand that I put out. Like that was an investment. And is that something you would dwell, or you would be like, listen, they did it, and that's going to make them a better person?
Not
Storm.
All, not at all. I know it's expensive, and I can rant and whine about how expensive it is. At the end of the day, it's all worth it. Like, whatever enjoyment, whatever they learned from the sport during that time, for me, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to rant like, I just spent this much money on you, so you should excel in this. Yeah, exactly. Am I allowed to ask questions, or are you the only one?
No, you ask questions.
You are bad. I want to ask this to you, especially. Well, everyone can answer, obviously. But, like, yes, we do. We let them do multiple sports until they find something that they really love, right? Or something like that. Like, up to when? Like, when do you know that your child is actually, like, in the right mindset to decide, like, you know what? I'm done with soccer. I want to focus on basketball. And that's it.
I don't know. I think that's individual. I think if we all would guess, and I bet each of our kids are going to have a little bit of a different answer to that question. You know, and I think that, you know, as it's looking, it looks like high school, about sophomore year, is when it starts making kind of, you know, you're moving. Are you going to be on varsity? Are you not going to be on? I mean, that's kind of probably maybe an old school way of thinking, but at the end of the day, it's like, if you can be a varsity basketball player and a varsity soccer player, and why would you not want to do both?
Right.
Yeah, there's no reason to not do both, in my opinion. Now, if you feel the need that, okay, maybe they're a little better in one than the other, and they have a chance to play college in one or the other, and maybe it's more leaning towards soccer instead of basketball, then maybe you're like, hey, I mean, maybe we should work on your off season a little more soccer stuff than basketball, because you have a chance to go play. You know, I think it's got to be an individual decision.
Yeah.
But I think until it's that point, I think the more is the better.
I value that too, is that how your dad approached you?
Yeah, my dad with me was very interesting. He tried not to push me too hard, but like as soon as I fucked up, he got all my you know what I mean?
Like, but once you were all in, he was all in.
Yeah, but my sister was the opposite. He never pushed her, and she never played past high school. She could have, she just didn't. She really had that go gene in her that I had. And so I think he saw that, and there was like a joke in our family that like my dad didn't like my sister because of that for a long time. But I think it's probably a little bit of the opposite, but I think that, you know, but he would, my dad showed up to a lot of my stuff and wouldn't come to as much of her stuff. And I think it was just my dad. Now you like laugh about how, like, Lola can't hear you. Like, yeah. I heard my dad screaming from the crowd.
Didn't you, though?
No, but you could hear him up there, you know. But every now and then, in between series, he would have a little
something to say. I think it's interesting that you didn't play organized until 8th grade. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It wasn't. And again, you're like, Illinois wasn't as organized. Like, they didn't have as many programs. They do now. But back then, there was only so many programs in our area. So, you know, I was playing basketball. I was playing soccer. I was doing everything in the off season. And then all of a sudden I said, can I play now? And they finally said, yes. So I did it.
Yeah. Cause you like all the stories we see right now, like with parents that have made it to the top level, like LeBron, Dwayne Wade, all their kids are in basketball, playing at AAU, playing at the top tier, the Wagners. Like they're all pushing them. So
I think basketball would be different too, though, than football. Where basketball, like there's a kid in Mason's league right now, and he's a smaller guy, but he can ball. And this would be so much better than him by a million. And I'm like, if he can just keep going, like his athleticism is so good.
What was the crazy stat with LeBron? LeBron played the most father-son combo, like. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like the thing, like that many father son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just LeBron playing against father son, just father son combos. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to keep going.
Yeah. I also, you think about the longevity too. Like we talked about overuse, and you were talking about summer, and it's just like this overuse and overuse. LeBron's like fucking, what is he, 39?
37,
30. So 37, 30.
He's 39.
Could be 37.
When he graduated.
He's 4 years, because when I graduated, he was, yeah. But he was like 38 years old, and obviously the technology to take care of his body. But
difference now.
Yeah. And that's always something that you kind of look at. Like, are you going to overuse your body? Like, and especially for females. Like, females have a tendency to blow out their ACLs because of their hip placements and things like that. So that's always something you worry about too. Like, am I overworking her? Am I pushing her too hard? And I try to like give a balance. And like,
you played what, 4 years of college, right?
Yeah.
LeBron didn't play any years of college.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking God. And college is the fucking worst too. Like, so
beach.
Yeah, they kick your ass in college. So you skip college, you're golden. Like, the NBA is like, practice, like you walk through practice. College, like that's where I lost like 6 years of my career in fucking college. Like, tearing up my knees.
I have noted. Push Paisley and Harlow hard enough to skip college.
There's a fine line where you were okay. Can you skip college?
You don't get to skip slow down. That's a gauge.
Yeah. John, what are we drinking tonight? Give us the rundown of the. There's some real good shit here. And if you're not a bourbon fan, like, look these up because they are quite impressive.
Yeah, right now we're drinking a little whistle pig out of a pig. pretty excited. No, I've basically brought a bar, and we're gonna make our way through it all this evening. Little mix of bourbon, little mix of rye.
Nice.
Couple finished bourbons, finished ryes.
I have a good question in terms of like how you guys handle, as dads, we talked a lot about our kids and stuff. Now let's talk about us. Like, how do you handle a hangover? Like, how do you handle, like, because I'm always thinking, if I'm drinking, I'm like, I'm 42 years old. Like, am I going to be completely fucked the next day? Like, how do you guys, is there something, do we just accept it and just say, well, tomorrow's a fucking wash?
Electrolytes, man.
Let John speak on it. He just came from Miami.
I don't know. I'm usually all right. As long as I get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Enough sleep. 3 Motrin. Boom.
In the morning.
Okay. Enough sleep. I'm all right. That's gonna really make or break me.
But it's unrealistic for us that. Enough sleep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It depends on the circumstance. Yeah. I got a baby, so I really. But. Yeah. No, but I also find, like, you know, as long as you don't mix too many things, beer, liquor, stick to a little of the, you know, little of the brown stuff. I think.
So you think we'll be okay tomorrow?
I think we'll be all right.
All right. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. So I have Excedrin, and I pop 4 Excedrin. Now I'm a big ass dude, but like, I pop 4 Excedrin if I'm drinking the night before. And I usually wake up pretty good. But if I'm mixing stuff, like the same thing, I wake up and I'm a mess.
Yeah.
Like the other weekend, I went out and I got hammered. And the thing was, I wasn't even drunk. Like, I just got body hammered. Like, I just felt like shit the next day. And I had to go eat McDonald's like I was in college. But it was because I was so fucking, I just was mixing so many things that I just don't drink enough anymore. But like, that's what I want to know everyone's secret. You said electrolytes, Jason.
Like, before I go to bed. So if we were drinking now, once I get home, you know that powdered
stuff?
Like
the IV?
Liquid IV, or I have the Element one. Element one is more salt, more sodium than sugar. But I pop that one bottle, water bottle, just chug it down. And then again, when I wake up in the morning. That helps a lot.
All right, what you got?
If I drink too much, I'll forget. But I'm on the Excedrin before bed. That's a huge one.
Yeah.
I have a friend that told me about that.
Mm-hmm.
I, if you can do that, if you can remember, it's generally I'm either not drinking enough or I need it, or I'm drinking so much that I forget. But that's the best. And then I usually try to drink a half a bottle of Gatorade, and then I'll drink the rest either when I wake up for the middle of the night piss that we all have to take out. Or finish it in the morning. But generally, yeah, I'm Excedrin at night is usually the thing that gets me. And I'll drink Emergency with a bottle of water in the morning and try to get the like vitamins and stuff back in my body to make me feel better.
And I'll answer for Eric. I think we can do. We probably should work out.
a little bit.
You don't sleep.
I'm telling you, man.
The sauna is a good thing.
So wait, China will tell you it matters what I drink, right? But bourbon, I'll wake up the next day perfectly fine.
That's what I'm saying.
I work beer. Woo. Hey, I'll take a seven before I go to bed. I'm still going to wake up feeling like crap if I drink that much beer.
Yeah.
But usually I don't, I'm not a beer guy. I'm bourbon, whiskey. You'll explain the difference between the whiskey and beer. But Noah, it's, I used to make sure I wake up drunk. Like, don't oversleep. Wake up drunk still.
That's an interesting.
Wake up drunk still.
So that's mean, that means you're going to wake up like, what, 4 a.m.?
Whatever it is. Whatever you need to do. If you're going to bed at 1 and you're still feeling good, you lay down.
Uh-huh.
Try to wake up still drunk.
Do you set an alarm for this?
You want to read off alarms? My alarms are... My first alarm is 4 right now.
How many hours do you have?
12.
Wait, are you a snooze guy?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Because
okay.
The baby wakes up. She throw because I'm four, anywhere from 4 to 5 hours, right? If I sleep more than 5 hours, as you guys know, I feel like crap. It doesn't matter if I'm drunk or not. But if the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and she comes to lay with us and throws me off my system, oh, I'm done for the day. I'm done for the day.
See, he was a snooze guy.
No, I'm usually up before the alarm.
Gotcha. Oh,
I'm a snooze guy. I'm a big snooze guy.
But when she, for the past 2 months, man, she's been 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3:30. And I'm like, this shit's throwing me off. Yeah. Especially doing two practices.
Yeah.
I'm like, two practice sheets. I'm up. I didn't show you guys the picture last night, but I had the four games on and I had my computer on my lap doing two practice sheets. I don't go to practice without practice sheets. It's unprepared. And that's not what I like to do. But yeah, so answer your question. If I had to pick something, it would be wake up still drunk.
That's crazy.
Yeah, what do you do? Like, okay, you wake, all right, fine. You woke up and you're still drunk. Now, what do you do?
Hydrate, move, keep your body in motion.
I need to try.
Start my day.
I can't do that.
Start my day. Coffee, eat.
Uh-huh.
Coffee.
All right.
And don't get tired.
No, not really.
Damn.
Really.
I get tired. I'm like, the older I get, the more sleep I need. I'm just like a bear. Like, I just need to start, like, hibernating for longer periods of time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in an age where being tired is a choice now. And it's doing it all the time. Right? Like, you wake up, it's like, you know what? I'm going to be tired today.
Yeah, today's a day.
Yeah.
It's not going to push it.
Can you take a nap in the middle of the day? Could you take a nap in the middle of the day?
I could if I... Yeah, I mean... What do you mean?
I can definitely take a nap.
Every single day, it comes allowed.
The Army started allowing napping in the field manuals, the FMs they call it.
Oh, that's good.
If it does not hinder the operation.
That's good.
Because it's better. So a 30-minute nap is actually better than a cup of coffee, they say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, those guys would agree with that.
I appreciate that. 2:30, if you close your eyes for 20 minutes and you wake up at 2:50, you're raw. I mean, you ain't thinking about it until you get back to, I mean, you go until 11 o'clock and you're working all the rest of the day. You drink a cup of coffee by 3:45, you want another one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, I mean, the amount of coffee that's drank in a football office, it's absurd.
In a law office,
probably.
I was going to say, yeah.
Crap.
Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee. I live on coffee. If I don't have coffee, I'm totally fine.
How much coffee is depending on coffee?
Well, I mean, the morning, and then, you know, you get a little more in the afternoon. I'll have it at night, and I'll just go to sleep. I can drink coffee anytime.
Right.
It'll either, like, wake me up.
How do you guys take Keurig? Like, what do you do?
Iced coffee. I drink only ice.
Yeah. My sister-in-law has been helping us out just because we've been busy with work and everything like that. She introduced us. I think I've seen it before, but not really. A slow pour, it's called, where it's just a glass, and then you put the filter and you sit there. Not French press.
Oh,
not the French press, because I like the French press.
Yeah.
But it was just, I'm like, she sits there for like 3, 4, 5 minutes, 6, 10 minutes, and she keeps pouring. I'm like, I'll just take a Keurig.
She has to.
But it does taste good.
What do we got? Anything else, guys? Because I'm my glass is empty, and the fuckers on the who are watching us right now aren't going to see the end of the night. So I'm going to get there, you know, get that started. We got any other topics we got to cover?
I think you guys want. What did you guys want me to cover with the Harlow thing?
You gotta give the break. Harlow picking out the team.
So back to like the parenting, right? I made a mistake sending my child back to, so for people that don't know, it's travel soccer's technically two seasons for one complete season, fall, spring. She had good coaches. It was more a personal choice for myself to allow, I gave my daughter an option after the last game. I did not like how her time management or how she was being managed. She was their primary goalie, and they never talked to me about primary goalie or asked her to be the primary goalie, but we kind of knew she was the primary goalie. Mm-hmm. But she would be subbed in and subbed out for kids. They would either start whining or start crying, and then they would put her back in. So either a net or in the field into a position, striker or forward or center back, whatever it was. And I'm just, somebody asked me, he's like, why didn't you say something to the coaches sooner? I'm like, I don't want to be the one that says something to a coach and then they adjust. I want them to be able to recognize and to adjust. Mm-hmm. So
you're giving them too much credit.
I agree. But I didn't want to be that parent that complained and then they adjust it, and now my kid is getting more time here, more time there, or less time because I said something, whatever it was. So I wasn't at the first game, and she played goalie. She was pulled to go into a position, and whoever went in for her, Harlow told me she started crying, so they put Harlow back in goalie. And that was the first game. That was 2 weeks ago. And then when I made the second game last week, I told Harlow, I said, listen, you made a decision not to play for this team next year. You don't want to try out for this team. Just volunteer to be goalie for the whole time. So she volunteers to be goalie for the whole time. About 5 minutes left in the second half, they pull her. It's 2-0. Or the
game's already done, basically.
It was 3-0.
Probably, yeah.
It was 3-0. 3-0. She was playing shutout, right? No goals on her. She probably had 5, maybe 6 legit saves. And then the other ones were left, right, whatever. So they pull her. I told the coaches this. I said, I would have been perfectly fine if you just pulled her and sat her on the bench. There would have been no questions asked. Mm-hmm. But they pulled her. They told her to take her kid off. They put her in. Not even a minute later, the girl that she went in for was crying. They put her back in. Now, Harlow was out of position probably 2 times within that minute, coming in cold from goal. It was, still in my shorts. I was still in my shorts, but it was a little breezy day. And I expressed that to the coaches too. I said, I understand she was out of position a couple of times, but that doesn't warrant pulling the child out. If a child is given their effort, I never pull them out. Mm-hmm. I give them on the court correction. Now, they're pretty much not like, hey, I'm not playing. I let this person go right to the bye or whatever. All right, hey, you got to come out. We got to have a conversation. But if they're out of position, but they're trying, that's a whole different story. But it was a minute. And JC was right next to me.
Oh, yeah.
And my head went, I was like, Harlow jogged off the field, sat on the bench, was cheering on the side. I said, I can't let her do this. I walked to the car. I sat in the car. I got it running. Harlow came in. I looked at her. I said, Harlow, I will never do this again. You have an ultimatum right now. You have a one-way ticket. Do you want to play for this team anymore? Didn't hesitate. It's like, no. She's like, will you be mad at me? I was like, no. I was like, no. You have a one-time free pass right now. And she's like, no, I don't want to play for the team anymore. I was like, you like soccer, don't you? She's like, yeah. I said, all right, I'll figure out something. So I emailed coaches. I said, listen, I said, this was a family decision. And they emailed me back. I was hoping for a little bit more, but like you said, high hopes.
Yeah.
But because Harlow is one of those girls that, like, when she's on your team or she's your friend or she's your family, she'll go all in. Like, even with Paisley and Rowan, they're all in too, but it's something about her that she's all in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first question she asked. She's like, "You'll be mad?" I'm like, "No, I'm not mad. I'm giving you the way out right now." And it hurt me just as much because I'm like, yeah, I was like, we don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have never put her in that situation to start the spring. In my head, I'm like, no, this is one season. But in actuality, it's not. Like, it's separate. Because high school, what's high school do? High school, they play fall. That's it. They don't play a spring season. So that was the whole thing with Harlow. And that's why he was like, bringing it up. And that's why I don't know how to respond to that one text. I was like, it sucks, but I get it.
But we got freaking killed because goodness gracious.
I have a question. Here's a good, so kind of in a different way, but just understanding our daughters and how they play. And now we've all been on same teams and we've been on different teams, but would you ever go to a coach, and you'd be interesting, but you guys are coaching now.
Yeah.
Would you ever go to a coach about if your daughter wasn't playing enough or playing in a wrong position, or how would you respond as a coach if a parent came up to you and said, "My daughter's not playing enough"?
I feel like as a parent, I would not, unless I felt like you guys know me, like I'm her worst critic. So like, I'm like, if I think she's playing bad, I'm like, you're sucking. So I don't really, I'm not like, oh, she's the greatest thing in the world. Like, I'm pretty level headed when I look at her talent. I'm like, so, but as she's watching. So like I also think that if I was like, she's fucking good. If I thought she was good, and I, like, knowing basketball, I'd be like, something's up. I don't know how I would approach that because I've always been, like, very pro coach, like, let the coach coach. But I might pull, like, something like you did. Like, if I know that like, she's way better and there's something going on that's – and I'm talking, like, high school. I don't really care, like, eighth grade or whatever. But, like, high school, if there's, like, a situation where I'm like, she should be playing and now it's, like, affecting her livelihood and her life – I might like pull or do something. If she liked the school, maybe I would talk to the coach. But if a parent came up to me, I'd probably be pretty honest with them. I'd be like, who do you think like she should be playing over? Like, just tell me who she should be playing over and we'll consider it.
But you're going to welcome the outcome.
I won't be like a dick about it. I'll be like, okay, I respect your opinion, but like, just, I want you to be honest with me. Like, I'm being honest with you, but I want you to be honest with me.
I actually had one parent come up to me one game because I did a pretty good with Dre myself. He usually kept me in check on subs and stuff. Had one game where one parent came up to me at the end and he approached it kind of like twofold. He approached it with, hey, what does she need to do to play more?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the questions. And then he approached, hey, I realized she didn't play that much. Was there a reason? So he hit me with both those questions. I said, I hit him with the truth. Like Kev said, I said, listen, I said, I got caught up in the game. I said, I was worrying about winning and not the subs. I said, but to address your second question, she just needs to be more aggressive. So I acknowledged both of his questions, but I also acknowledged the game. Kind of, not a little like snub, but like, hey, my mind was in the game. My apologies for not getting her in more. However, I was worried about the W more than the actual rotation of the subs. Now, for Rec, that answer probably wouldn't have been like, hey, it's Rec, get everybody in, rotate everybody
in. Right.
But like, everybody knows travel's just a little, and you want the best players to play, but you want everybody to play. But that's why you try not to take so many players. Like,
mm-hmm.
like the perfect amount is 8.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal amount is 9. Once you get past 9, it's for a game situation, it's difficult to manage. But for practice, you want 10.
Yeah.
So it's like, mm-hmm. what do you do? Because you want to be able to run full court during practice. have equal teams, equal stations. And it's hard because AAU, at our level, you get 14 minutes halves. During the season, we're getting 15 minute halves at that level. So it's like you're minus in 2 minutes, and then also you're playing three games in one day. So you're like, holy crap, I want 10, I want 11. But managing everybody's expectations. Like, it's like soccer tournaments too. It's like, but soccer's a little bit better.
Yeah.
7, 9, 11.
Yeah.
And then you're only having three or four subs still. But basketball, no matter what level you're at.
Call me when you have a practice. I need a pickup game.
But yeah, so to answer your question, it really depends on how the parent, like, because I always am like, I hope I don't get a parent like me. And then I realized how I just handled Paul. I'm like, actually, no, I wish I had parents like me. Like,
yeah.
I have an addendum. Like, would anyone, then this is what I was thinking, like in high school level, would you tell them to go talk to the coach?
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, especially first. At that age.
Uh-huh. Like, you need to hold yourself accountable and that's be responsible. Like, what am I? And that shit's, I remember talking to my coach.
Yeah.
It wasn't about playing time. It was about, like, I didn't get selected for, like, all state or whatever. And I remember going and talking to my coach, and I was fucking terrified because he was like this mentor, and he was like very, just the way his presence, I was like I was just so fucking scared to go talk to him. But it created a man out of me. Like, I would like stop being I was like, you're not a fucking pussy, like, sorry if that's like offensive to him, but like, you're not, like, you gotta go out and,
yeah, we got cuts,
we got an editor.
Yeah, I think that goes in line with what A and John was saying earlier, like, they bite their tongue, but then they're honest with them in the car, right?
Yeah.
If you're not honest with your kids early, and the first time they're hearing something is high school.
Yeah.
Like, yep. I tell people all the time, like, the rank doesn't matter. There's people that are like, yo, Chief Pal, he's an asshole. Well, this one, well, you don't care. What
Who are these people?
You know what that special said about you? I'm like, first off, like, I'm an asshole. Yeah, I am. Like, I already know this. Like, well, what about the military baron? Got you. Military baron. Got you. Awesome. I'm not going to hate the person for recognizing what I am. Like, if the first time I'm hearing I'm an asshole is from a lower enlisted person, somebody's been minding my whole life.
Right.
But like, yeah. If the first time you're hearing something, hey, you're selfish, you don't pass on a soccer field, hey, you're a bad student, you don't put enough study hours in, it's high school, your parents kept college you.
Yeah.
They lied to you.
So what about this? Like, I know this. Like, Avari, after her game, I could literally walk up and be like, you suck. That was awful. If I said that to Mason, it would be a disaster. He can't handle that. I don't know that he'll ever be able to, not, well, I shouldn't say that, but for right now, at Avari's age 8, where he is now, she could handle that. He mm-hmm. can. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's going to be able to handle it 2 years from now. So I have to be very careful with how I talk to him. He needs encouragement. He doesn't need criticism.
Yeah.
Where she could take criticism and she pushes back and she'll come out and play harder because I criticize her, where he might not want to go to practice next
yeah.
because right. I criticize him. Like, we said something today and he's like, do you not think I'm good in basketball? I'm like, well, I'm like, you're better at baseball than yeah. basketball. I said that but he was like, he can't handle that. So like, different kids handle what you say to them differently, you know, and it's a whole, like, Avari she could go to her coach right now and talk to them. Like, Mason would be scared to death to go to his coach and ask him a question.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think that's his personality right now.
Do you think it has something to do with the factor of that you were a pro athlete?
And the male,
got that. He's like next in line for
that. There's probably a little bit of pressure my dad and then me, and then he's the only boy. And
is he in school? Does he talk to his teachers?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, yeah, I think he's good. He's he doesn't love school.
Paisley is kind of like even keel, like when it comes from like sports or academics. She loves it, but she doesn't put that extra time in until you're like cracking the whip, and then she gets mad because she's like, why are you pressuring me? Like, she had to retake a couple tests recently, and like, we were on her because it's frustrating because she doesn't once she puts the time in, she excels, sports or academics. But she says one thing, mm-hmm. does the opposite. Like when she does her flashcards for academics, she gets A's, hundreds. She gets all excited, shows us, but then she'll kick back into low gear until we get on her again. Mm-hmm. Same thing with sports. You see her on the field until I say something, that now she gets angry and she goes full speed because she's mad at me now. But then it's when I don't say anything, she'll sit back and she'll play this little pity patter game.
Right.
It's both. You guys see that in academics mm-hmm. too? Like, oh, it's yeah. like correlated. Mm-hmm. Like, because it frustrates the shit out of me.
Also,
it's like, I shouldn't have to be there every time.
Yeah.
We've seen the best Paisley on the field after she gets elbowed by an opponent.
Oh, yeah. She likes to, yeah.
Yeah.
When she gets someone, get, yeah. Like,
fires her up.
She doesn't back down. She's like, no, I'm going to fuck you up now.
I'm like, no, act like it's tough. I told you guys, they wab on each other. Like, and they wab on each other. Like, like, on the way to school, it's a 6-minute drive, right? If somebody took their vitamins before the other person and they brag about it, they're swinging on each other in the back. But it's like, and I just sit down, I just keep driving. And I'm just like,
Coaching the moves like, oh my god, use the elbow, use the elbow.
Paisley sat back one time and I saw her. She went like, boom, straight up kick. I was like, yo, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that, because I had a PTSD moment. I was like, yo, don't ever up kick your sister. I said, somebody else did all that. I was like, do not up kick your sister.
I think the biggest thing that we take away from this podcast is having a kid fucking sucks. It's like there's great things, but it's there's times when it's just very frustrating. So the balance of being a father or a mother and raising kids in this environment and raising kids to be athletes is definitely difficult. And we just want to thank our panel tonight, because this is a really good conversation, and it's fun because we're all good friends. But this is a conversation that you guys could have with your kids, have with the coaches, things like that, because we just wanted to give you guys some insight from people who are like-minded. We're all going through it as parents, and I think, you know, this hopefully this podcast helps you guys. I want to thank you guys so much for hopping on tonight. Check if you ever go to Costco and you go buy something from Kirkland, JC is probably designed the logo on there. Check out the Eagles. Follow the Eagles. Their Super Bowl run. If you need a lawyer, obviously we know where to go with John. You'll probably see him on the sideline coaching somewhere. Even if it's like, if you're in Minnesota, he'll be there. Don't worry. But we want to thank you guys all for listening today and tuning in. This has been the Overseas Famous Podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We will see you guys next time.